Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Dabuti podcast. Today I've decided to forge a link with one of my other projects. I want to promote and talk about the second edition of the Patuka Press pamphlet series, which has just been released and will be available in Gibraltar bookshops as from Monday, the 4th of December. I've edited the volume together with Mark Sanchez and Gabriel Moreno. In total, 21 submissions feature in the 170-plus pages booklet, all of them different literary and non-fictional responses to the overarching theme of borders and boundaries. If you remember, back in the summer, we released a pamphlet on the theme of shit jobs. This time, we've managed to put together an even bigger publication. I'm going to take you briefly through each piece that appears in this second issue and tell you a bit about the authors represented. But it's important to stress that Patuka Press does not receive any financial help from any government entity. The enterprise is entirely self-funding after initial outlay from the editors. This helps us keep our independence and ensures that our only obligations are to our contributing authors and our readers. Okay, so the pamphlet opens with an introductory note by Gabriel Moreno, one of the founders of Patuka Press. Gabriel says, and I quote, "The history of Gibraltar is entwined with frontiers and boundaries. Borders in Gibraltar are like mirrors. We have used them to understand what we look like and who we are." Gabriel notes that he was impressed by and excited about the, I quote, "diversity of literary styles, the confident narrative tones, and the merging of different languages," concluding that we are, and I quote again, "experiencing a renaissance in Gibraltarian literary expression." If you look at the quality and number of novels, plays, short story and poetry collections published in the last 10 years, I think you have to agree that this is a fair assessment. So following the introduction in the pamphlet is the first piece, a short story by Humbert Hernandez in Spanish, titled La Frontera de la Vergüenza, which opens like this. Septiembre 1985. Un calor asfixiante. Había venido caminando desde la calle Andalucía y cruzado la frontera de la línea con Gibraltar, y ahora me encontraba, como todos los días, afuera del colegio de Notre Dame, en la barriada de La Laguna, esperando que saliera mi hijo James a las 4:15 de la tarde. The story, written with that verve and ear for the language of the street that Humbert has mastered, focuses on the tensions between law enforcement officials at the border and those who cross it. A short piece by Stefano Blanca Chacaluga, who not only contributed to the first pamphlet, but designed both our covers, discusses his nerd-like obsession with maps and arcane geographical facts. He says, "Nothing, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, brings me unbridled joy like having to depend on a map. Planning routes, calculating distances, and by proxy learning about the history of places, why cities, provinces, and countries are the shape they are, and what defines the people in these borders." Next up, we have a short story called Stacker by Mark Sanchez. This piece is linguistically interesting as it sees Mark writing in a code-switched Llanito. Previously, he had released a bilingual version of his smuggling novel Marlborough Man, where the dialogue is rendered in Llanito. This time, our vernacular drives the narrative and descriptive passages too. The piece explores a transgressive relationship with the Gib-Spain border, an official line that can be crossed in unofficial and illegal ways. Here's his description of the no-man's-land quality of the area beyond Eastern Beach. "People in Gib no paran de decir que el Nature Reserve y la Alameda Gardens son unos great beauty spots, pero la verdad es que no hay nada en Gibraltar que se pueda comparar a esa playita solitaria al filo del runway. Flores que no se ven en ninguna otra parte del peñón sprout out of the cracks al principio del runway tarmac. Mejillones como cucharones de sopa crecen sin ser molestados sobre la roca." Another piece with a strong Llanito element follows, Gabriel Moreno's story El Chevrolet y la Frontera. Set in Varal Beg, this wonderfully descriptive tale details the effect a gleaming new car has on the stunted lives of family. At first, the car promises a release, a taste of something better, but the vehicle cannot, it seems, compensate for life's misery. In writing that shows his background as a poet, Gabriel says, We should have all stayed there that morning. We should have cut the tape and looped the scene to protect the mood the American car had conjured. But the morning passed, and so did the two or three days of positivity that followed the arrival of the Chevrolet. Mum's hair lost its celluloid gleam. The kitchen tiles got covered in fluffy grey dust, and the fridge awoke from the passing slumber to continue its season of grunting and burping. The Fence by Michael Lombard is next in the pamphlet's order of publication. Michael is a newcomer to the Patuca Press author list. He left Gibraltar in 1970 to live and work in Canada and is now based in Madrid. I first came across his writing in his book of diary entries and photos called Four Septembers, a poetic snapshot of his life and loves in Canada, and I was glad to receive his submission. The piece opens evocatively. It was the summer of 1971, and my hometown of Gibraltar was under siege by the Franco regime. The only way out was via plane to London. With the excuse of studying abroad, I finally arrived in Canada. I was coming of age in a strange land, my Mediterranean home and family lost, fallen off behind the horizon. Fences, in fact, the one made impassable by Franco, and more subtle social barriers form the backdrop to this piece. The men's fragrance Draca Noir inspires the title of the next piece by returning contributor Rebecca Calderon. The humorous story covers the exploits of smugglers crossing the border. The moment when they cross over undetected is wonderfully captured. Rebecca writes, "They glided through the gates, lifted their passports, and were waved on towards a vehicle checkpoint. A mere 10 metres of tarmac separated them from agony and ecstasy." I was particularly happy that we invited writers to send in poems for this issue. I think it broadened the number of people willing to submit, and it's given the pamphlet a more varied texture, with shorter poems providing a different rhythm from the longer prose pieces flanking this verse. Our first poem is from Naomi Duarte, who is well known in the local art scene. Cruzando Cruzando freely mixes Spanish with some English words and contains images that connect the areas of La Línea near the border with parts of Gibraltar, almost like setting up a mirror, tracing connections and parallelisms. She writes, "Cruzando agua, se bañan en la dirección del peñón, reflejando a los del Cuari, manos en la cintura, con los pies en la misma agua salada." Jonathan Pizarro, who is known for his regular Chasing Nelson column in the Chronicle, features as our next writer. His piece Levante is driven by short, impressionistic sentences and looks at how the opening up of the border in the 80s also opened up the possible paths that desire could take, freed from the mores and opportunities for shame of a small claustrophobic town. Jonathan writes, "Desire pushed down somewhere deep led you to this crossing. Now the world was open, stretched out in front of you, and now you didn't know where to go." The Perfect Deal by Jackie Anderson breathes a similar air, with the border representing a threshold to be crossed in order to conduct an illicit and tempestuous affair with a younger man. Jackie's writing is visceral and passionate. She writes, "You want more before you go?" His English is good, though heavily accented, learned on the streets and cafes, warehouses and housing estates of Gibraltar. She shakes her head with a shrug of reluctance. Of course she wants more. She always wants more. The breathtaking strength of her wanting takes her by surprise. Hercules Sundering Reversed by the US-based academic David Alvarez follows after Jackie's story. Turning his gaze the other way, David looks at another border that surrounds us and touches on the Gibraltarian mind, the Strait. He imagines a future where the Strait is no longer, as he says, quote, "Fortress Europe's militarized moat, as an aqueous mass grave, the new Berlin Wall." But instead, quote, "A short land bridge that anyone can cross freely in either direction for a leisurely stroll." David's piece forces us to question our assumptions about exclusion and belonging. A non-fiction piece by my mother, Barbara Durante, follows this. The Creation of Northern Ireland details a historical and social background to the creation of a relatively recent and contentious border between Northern Ireland and the Republic. Drawn from first-hand experience of growing up in Belfast, Barbara also discusses the spiral of violence that hit the country from the late 1960s. She says, "Although I moved to Scotland in September 1969 to continue my studies at university, I came home for the holidays and experienced the turmoil firsthand. At first, the Catholics welcomed the British army, seeing it as a shield to protect them from the Protestant mob. Later, however, as the violence increased, they deemed the army to be pro-Protestant and began attacking their vehicles and soldiers in the streets." Switching back to poetry, we have a fine poem by David Chivasco, a Gibraltarian who is currently a full-time lecturer at Chiba University in Japan, where he specialises in bilingualism and learner motivation. David looks at all the different identities he has adopted as he's moved across the globe for work and study reasons. He is, as the chameleon of the title hints, someone who takes his colour from his surroundings. These puzzles of identity are summarised in the lines, ¿Cuál es mi país y cuántas regiones tiene? ¿Cuál es mi lengua y de qué origen viene? Mi dulce, mi baile, mi vestir, mi canto, mi pasado y mi futuro. I've got a poem next in the pamphlet titled The Guitar and the Harp, which looks at the Spain-Gib border and closes with a prose section on the fractured urban landscape of Belfast. It's probably the longest poem I've written. Following my piece, there are four short haiku-like pieces from Marisa Salazar. Marisa first published some of her poems in the Anthology of Contemporary Gibraltar Poets, and I'm very glad to feature her work here. Her clear, concise images leave a lasting impression on the reader. It's certainly worth reading them several times. Consider as an example the opening of Frontier Queue. Sun on chest, twin queues, doctor's appointment. Stand still, breathe in July morning. Breathe again, melt into car seat. The death of Mr. Edward Bastian, 42, Upper Town, Orange, Capurro, GX111AA, by Liam John Ballester, is next, and provides an intriguing contrast with what the reader has encountered so far. It's a dark, dystopian tale, where the borders between bodies and houses are unclear and unstable. This story reminded me of some of the more grotesque creations of Will Self's imagination. Liam writes, "Their bed had a layer of fat, which could increase or decrease depending on whether the house conducted a sufficient amount of exercise during the day. Amy burned up, and even though Ben sweated profusely, he seemed at peace, grinning in spite of his glistening forehead. Whilst laying above the adjustable layer of fat, Amy listened." I'm happy to say this is Liam's second submission for our pamphlets. An extract from Julian Felice's play Utrecht follows. It's good to see a play script here. Certainly, this is work to be read and not just enjoyed on the stage. Utrecht was one of Julian's three Gibraltar plays, published in 2016. The extract reprinted here looks at the circumstances that led to the signing of the Treaty of Utrecht in 1713, and how this has affected lives on both sides of the frontier. Shifting to the present day, it sees the Chief Minister of the ROC lament the way that the political machinations 300 years ago have pushed to one side the interests of people. The Chief Minister says, "Gibraltarians are sick and tired of being seen as little more than squatters. Foreigners are our own land, with an expectant landlord waiting for us to forego our lease, while Her Majesty's government watches from the sidelines, making excuses." Julian's play extract is followed by the poem Your Body, Your Vehicle by Davina Barbara. The poem looks at how we use our bodies as a boundary, with Davina writing, "Your body, your temple, you rethink the access, honour the vehicle, embrace your skin." Davina explores how the body both liberates and holds us back, in the same way, I think, that a frontier or a border could also do. Slam poet Jonathan Thuma contributes the next piece, a poem titled The Final Border. Continuing the critical approach to organised religion already developed in his first book of verse earlier this year, Jonathan starts his hard-hitting poem in this way. "Peace is possible. Peace is attainable. What it needs from our kind is to bring down one border, the only real border that lives in our minds." This is an imaginative approach to the set theme, and my only regret is that we have to read it on the page and not hear it recited in the author's inimitable style. A short play by Sophie MacDonald called Electra La Winston Girl reimagines the smuggling years via a Yanito version of a Greek tragedy. Patio life and the lively conversation of women are colourfully evoked. She writes, La viejecita become distracted by a jolting squawk coming from an exhaust pipe of una moto. Que vivan los Winton, cries the motorcyclist. La viejecita wander away, shaking their heads and chismeando into the abyss. With the backdrop of the fast launch riots and deaths at sea, it's an original approach to this topic of our recent past. And it's good to see that writers are continuing to use this as raw material for their work. One final poem, Ashan Shanin by Dale Budji, follows. It's written in the orthography pioneered by Dale in his work for the Yanito Yanito website and his wider campaigning on behalf of Gibraltarians for a multilingual society. Dale's poem laments the loss of Yanito, noting, El language de liquidva que ni usan pa jugar. Ellos no saben ni aceptan cargos han perdido porque verdad nunca ha pensado que un los ha sido. Dale blends these political points with more lyrical reflections on the sea, and the result is another worthwhile contribution to the growing body of Yanito literature. The pamphlet closes with a short essay by my dad, Charles Durante, titled Defying Borders in History, Myth and Literature. And I apologise for the Durante Fest that this pamphlet has become. Those familiar with his regular pieces for the Chronicle will enjoy how Charlie works through numerous examples of borders as they feature in, among others, the history of the Roman Empire, Homer's Odyssey, and Dante's Inferno. Charlie concludes, borders are generally restrictive. However, they can present a challenge, a threat, and an enticement. That ends my overview of the 21 pieces included in this latest Patuca pamphlet. If you'd like to buy a copy, it's available as an ebook and as a paperback on Amazon. And as from Monday, the 4th of December, it will be on sale in BookGem and the Heritage Trust. Thanks for any support you can give us so we can continue promoting local writing. And thanks for listening.